Welcome to another episode of the Walking Down Sheepfoot Lane podcast. We've got Bin Man here, and this week we are joined by Tommy Bostock. How are you both keeping, lads?
How are you guys? I'm good, thank you.
Yourselves? Yeah, all good, me, thanks.
Good, yeah. Good.
How are you feeling after your COVID vaccine, Bin Man?
Fucking hell, I felt rough this morning.
Which one did you have?
The Oxford one. I felt like...
That's what I had.
I felt rough. Tommy, I'm not joking. Yeah, I felt like I've been on the piss all day.
No, honestly, I felt exactly the same. So I had a day in bed the day after. But then... it's not nice.
It's not good. It's not good. I felt rough this morning. Honest to God, I felt like I've been on the piss all day. But,
well, at least you've had it done.
Yeah, I feel all right.
Sorry? At least you've had it done. The podcast, because we've not done one since the Dino one, and I'd like to thank everybody for the feedback and listening. I think we've got over 1,000 views on that one, which has totally blown us away, and the feedback we got was good. I think everyone really enjoyed it. But obviously...
Yeah, they did.
A lot has gone on since then. So I don't know where we start from. So I think we start on a recent form. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's just a shambles. I mean, it has been for years, really. But I think for me, it's just the way that we actually play football. It's not entertaining. It's not fun to watch. It's boring. But then we can have these games when we score 4 goals and score last minute goals, and it's just so inconsistent. But I'd rather just feel like we're going to go into a game and know that we're going to put in a good performance, really.
I agree with you. You know, that some games you just think, yeah, we're playing all right, but some games you just think, oh, I just can't be bothered to watch it. It's painful to watch it on telly. You know, I'd rather be at the games, obviously, as you know, Tommy, but you know, we'd rather be at the games, but it's painful to watch it on telly. I get really nasty with it. I don't know about you, Tommy. I tend to really do get nasty more watching it on telly at the minute than I do at the games.
Yeah, well, I've never been a shouter really at the games, but I watch them with my dad, and obviously he just shouts and raves at the telly. I think we're on our second telly since we've been watching it on iFollow. Well, no, I think I look at the game on Saturday when we played Southend, and I mean, I don't really remember anything good that came out of that game. It was just boring.
It's not good to watch, is it? And it gets, imagine, you know, we're at the games and seeing this. Mm. We'd be at, in my opinion, to see it on telly, it's worse because you see more in depth, don't you, than you do at the game. When you're at the game, you're talking to your mates, your family, etc. When you're at home watching it on the telly, you see it more in depth and I get more wound up. Mate. I'm lucky I've got this same telly me I've had. So it's going to be on fucking front lawn if it carries on.
You can see more as well when you're there, because I think where we sit behind the managers, so you constantly see body languages, you hear what the managers are saying, you hear like all the tactics and stuff, but sitting home you just can't get involved.
No, it's not the same, is it?
Yeah, it is a hard view. And if you have a look at, obviously we've games are coming thick and fast at the moment, we're playing Tuesday, Saturday. I think every half of football, so I'm going from Carlisle, Bolton, Southend, every half of football has been totally different. The tactics have been different each half. The way we played, look at our first half against Carlisle, we was pretty shy. Then second half, we blew them away. Bolton, we started very well. Then, obviously, sending off of Jameson didn't help. And then Saturday was just dire. It's just, like you said before, we're just not consistent. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, it's exciting football, but the goals seem to be drying up now. We're not scoring as many as we did. And we just... looking very down and abject. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I think for me it looks like we all think the season's over now, so they've all took the foot off the pedal, really. But I think you made a good point on Twitter, Brad, a few weeks ago, where we have to concede first to get going, really. And I think you've won quite a lot of money from your betting from it. But no, I think it's just boring. It's not League Two football. It's just shit to watch, basically.
Like you say, you know, we'll touch on the fact that we, you know, we're the second highest goal scorers in the league behind Exeter. People might think, oh, well, but we've conceded so many goals, and that's it's typical of our season, isn't it? You know, goals are going in left, right, and centre. We can't be there to see it. Whether, you know, we score quite a lot. But like you said, Tommy, I find us boring. And I, like, you know, Brad said as well, you know, you look at games where you think one half is totally different to the other. It's never consistent. And that summer, I didn't understand the way we played. And I don't know. I really can't put my finger on it. Is it because the fans are not there? I don't know. I can't really answer. I don't know whether you think it's to do with fans not being there. Would you agree?
Listen, I don't think it's the fans, because I think at this level, and a lot of the players that we brought in were non-league anyway, so our youth team players, so they're kind of used to not playing in front of a lot of people, I think. But I think a big problem, because if you look before Christmas when we were scoring shitload of goals, yeah. You know, we should have brought in a good centre-half, a good defence, just somebody to control it at the back. And why on earth we didn't, well, obviously, you guys might know more than me, but I ain't got a clue. I think we tried with Leon Legg. I think he was very close because he was liking a lot of the tweets that people were sending, saying he's signing for Oldham. But you just strengthen where you're weakest. So that's my opinion on that side. But
Definitely. Centre-half was a massive issue. It's showing now, though, look how many injuries we've got. And I don't know how many centre-half combinations which we've used this season. Where are we at now? So Saturday was Pierre Gianni Diarra. Tuesday it was Pierre Gianni. And who was it? Jameson.
Jameson.
He was left back, and Diarra. And then the Saturday before it was Clark and Jameson. So
Jameson.
You always want a good centre-half pairing who goes throughout the season. You don't want to be chopping and changing that position because... They're keeping his confidence in his defence. I don't think he's got that at the moment. And obviously, one of the signings which we did sign was Taz Demir, and he's been absolute woeful. I think he played all right on Saturday, but he didn't really create much. He really could have scored if Grant went on the line. But again, it comes down to recruitment there, where we all know where the problem was, centre-half, but we go out and sign a winger who's looks like he's nowhere near the standard which we need to be.
And I think you're being polite there as well, Brad, because I think he's played five games and not showed anything. But I think if you look into it a bit more, and like Darren McAntony was saying on Twitter that we're paying peanuts, there must be some sort of agreement where we've got where we're playing him. Yeah. If we play him, we don't pay him. Because how he's getting in that team, I do not know. I think he played ahead of McElhinney, didn't he, on Saturday?
Yeah, I think that were more precautionary because McElhinney's been injured, I think. But I don't care if you're fit enough to be on the bench, you're fit enough to start, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion. And, you know, we go on to the January when we've mentioned this on a few podcasts out. The fact in January, we all knew it was the defence. We're scoring loads, as we just touched on. And the defence, and we're just not, we've done nothing about it. You know, I know we've got quite a few defenders at the clubs, but obviously they ain't good enough because we're still conceding left, right and centre. Like you said, Leon Legg, he'd have been someone massively experienced who knows the league inside out to come in and try. He could have been the difference of us being in the top half this season.
Just and, you know, obviously he's not a long-term player, but for a short term, he's somebody that can come in and do the job, without a doubt. He's got to prove record, but I mean, he's better than obviously what we are with John Batty. And I mean, Pierre Gianni's been playing fairly well, but again, they've never really played higher. I think if you look at that back two, none of them have played at higher level than normally or youth team football. And you know, you don't feel comfortable with them at the back. And you know, if you're an experienced League Two target man pro and you're playing against lads that I've been playing, you know, no disrespect to Harry Clark, but you've been playing youth team football for the past few years. You know you're going to bully him.
Yeah, of course you are.
So, yeah.
It's hard to think it when you got someone like Harry Clark. Me and Brad discussed him on Saturday, didn't we, Brad? Yeah. Harry Clark. And, you know, he's not been performing up to stuff. I'm not calling him shit by any chance. I'm not calling him crap. But some of his performances this season, I just think, wow, you know, you're being bad here, you know. I just can't believe the way you're playing. And some days I think, you know, there is a player in there. Do you think he needs someone experienced inside of him, Tommy? Do you think he needs someone that's been in the game? Pierre Gianni has been in the game, but as you said, none of them have got hardly football league experience. You think he'd be all right with someone there?
Yeah, massive. I think if you put Sean Greegan or a Peter Clark next to him, you'll see he'll know how to deal with different types of players. I think if you look at Tarkey now in the Premier League, he's done his trade in the lower leagues where he knows how to deal with those difficult players. And yeah, he can pass up as well. That's why he's playing at that level, because he can handle all different types of players. Harry Clark, I think he'll be a good player, and I think he'll play higher eventually. I always class him as like a Lee Johnson player, a centre half who wants to play the ball, but he's not somebody that's you know, a leader, for example.
No,
maybe in a couple of years he might be, but at the moment you just need to put someone next to him.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've known that all season.
Yeah, and obviously the performance on Saturday, it got rumoured, weren't it, on Tuesday that Kewell was going. Marms did put it that it was going, and he's right that he nailed him to the spot on Sunday. We all got the message, didn't we, saying that he's been sacked. I ask you two now, should he have been sacked?
I'll let Tommy answer that first.
Yeah, I think personally, I don't think he should have been sacked. Maybe controversial, but for me, I think a successful season this year would have been staying in the league and having a manager for the full season. That would have been progression on the year before. That's what I think.
I've said in my last couple of podcasts that, you know, I do like you and I do like, but the last couple of weeks, that on Saturday, I think bringing off Bahambula for Breeze Matambwe, he deserves to get sacked on that decision alone. That was nothing short of a disgrace that Saturday.
No, and I totally agree. And I think what I saw, do you not think it was a bit of a statement to maybe Mo that he hasn't got the players at the club and he haven't brought
him? Yeah, I think you're right.
So, because I can't see why he won't bring off, obviously, Bahambula that can... He did it the other week with Carlisle, where he did nothing all game, 80th minute, scores an absolute cracker.
Yeah. Me and Brad, I on Saturday, I thought that was an error when they were coming off for him. I thought it was an error. I thought, this is not good. Can you imagine, lads, that you were stood at the Rocky Road end or wherever you sit, right, and that substitute were made, what fans would have done?
They would have been booing like mad.
There would have been a lot. I tell you what, I would love to have been there in that main stand, because that would have been brilliant. There'd have been booze. There'd have been everything, wouldn't there? You know, but we've got to be realistic, lads. You know, we did beat Barrow at home. You know, we didn't beat Southend at home. These results can't go unnoticed. We should be beating teams like that. That's actually nothing short of disgrace. We looked down and out. We did. That's how we did. Luckily, that they should have won the game. They hit the bar twice. Yeah. This deserves to win the game. Can you remember on Saturday a chance that you thought, oh, we should have scored? Can you remember?
No, like I said, I can't remember much from the game because it was that bad.
It was that bad?
It's like I said before, it's like they've all taken the foot off the pedal. It's like they know they're not going to go up. They know they're not going to get relegated. So what's the point of trying?
I said this morning to Brad. You know, whether we think we're not going to go down or not, we still mathematically could. So we still need to behave like we are. Could go down, you know what I mean? Even though I'd bet my life on it that we're not going to, we still need to perform like we are, because at the end of the day, you know, we still could get relegated. You need 49, 50 points in this league to stay up. Is it between 48, 49? Is
45, I'd say, is probably you stay up.
Yeah. But you're looking 48 to confirm it, aren't you?
Yeah.
You want as many points as possible anyway. So
of course you do, yeah. Yeah, you don't. You shouldn't look at, oh, we've got 48, that season done. We should still be playing, you know, like we are, you know. And a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, can we have another chance at the playoffs? And look, you know, look where we are now, you know, we find ourselves struggling again, you know. Yeah, I just think we should be slightly performing better. We should.
Yeah. If you have a look at the teams who have sat managers in this league, all the teams below us have sat the manager. I think barring Southend and Scunthorpe. You've also had Bradford, who've gone on a run, sat the manager, doing well. Bolton sat the manager. Kept the manager. Tranmere sat the manager early doors, and they've done on to go well. So I think the writing was on the wall, the way we've been playing. And we said it early on in the season, October time, we could have sacked him then. If fans were in the stadium, I think he would have gone. Then we had a very good November, December, which saved him. But since then, it's just been, again, shipping too many goals, struggling to beat teams which we should be easy thumping. You like to your Harrogates at home, your Barras. It's just too many games where we're just so inconsistent, and it's sad to me. I wanted Kewell to do well. I think we all did want him to do well and actually have a season of actually some consistency. And maybe we fans didn't really think we could get playoffs. I think top half finish would have been realistic, and people would have accepted that.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have, as much as I want to win the league every season, you've got to be realistic where we are. And I think if you look at the actual players that we brought in at the start of the season, you know, we're all saying relegation at the start. And I think we had that good game, first game of the season against Carlisle in the Cup. The team did brilliantly, and it kind of eased a few concerns. But a lot of the players, it's just like they stripped the full budget, really, for the summer. Youth team players, and you're not going to get out this division with you know, those type of players, I don't think. So,
No, I agree. But Tommy, look at that top three, mate.
I know.
We're older, we're one of the biggest sides in the league, whether people might think we're not. We are. We're bigger than Forest Green. We're bigger than Cheltenham. We're bigger than Cambridge. We're bigger than, a lot bigger than, you know, we're a massive club in this league, and we're just, I think we're underperforming. You know, you see that top three. If I said to you start of season, that'd be top three. Come start of May, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. And it is.
I think if you have a look at a lot of those teams, so Cheltenham that are top at the moment, Michael Duffy's been there for a good number of years. Newport's manager, what's he called? Is it Appleton?
Appleton.
He's been there for a good few years. Mark Cooper at Forest Green. So it's consistent in terms of that approach. And, especially in League Two, if you look at a lot of the teams that have gone up, it's been the same situation with managers. They need two and a half years to just bed in their culture, their players, and get those systems. You can't do it sacking managers every 2 minutes.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Well, Kewell's Abdallah's longest serving manager by a day. I think, was it Saturday when Dino and Kewell were joined? So he let him have an extra day. So he's our longest serving manager under Abdallah. He did the ninth appointment there. Obviously, the only person who's stayed all that time is Mo Lemsigan, still sporting director. Surely his role must be in question now.
Hey, I mean, it must be. I think, I don't know what the bloke does. What always makes me laugh about Mo, so a couple of years ago, I went to one of those meetings on a Friday night, which was arranged for all the special fans or whatever people call it. you couldn't shut him up. Mo Lemsigan, you couldn't shut him up. He was speaking fluent English. He was very aggressive. He kind of intimidated me, looking back, shutting Abdallah down. And then the next time I saw him was at Wrighton. Was it Wrighton Cricket Club?
I think
he didn't say a word. And I was like, this is the same bloke as last time. So, but you just think, what does he do? Because I think if you brought in the amount of plays that he's done, I think arguably the only success that he's had is, it looks like it's going to be Barhamdulla, depending on how much we get from him in the summer. But He's not achieved anything.
Well, I said to Brad tonight, you know, getting rid of that sporting director could be the best thing. We need to do it. We don't need one. We don't need one. Let the manager do the signings, you know, and if he's not good enough, then get rid of him fair enough. But we seem to be getting rid of the managers and keeping the sporting directors. So, you know, he's making mistakes all the time and not rectifying it.
I think it's culturally, and people do it in other countries, etc. But you know, this isn't other countries. This is the English Football League, and the oldest in the world, professional league. You just can't do it. But I think he's still got a business. I think in Germany. I think if you Google somewhere on the accounts, he's still got a football agency somewhere. But I don't know how true that is.
I think it's his brother. Is it Omar? Who runs the agency now on behalf of them. So I think they're still about with the agency. When it first came about the agency, you Google the agency, you look at some of the players they've got there. You've got the lad who used to play for Middlesbrough. You've got Janinho on there and Afonso Alves and players, Zerberto and Xavi and stuff like that. So you think at the time they're decent, but then look at the players. That I said the only successful one is Bayern Mullen. Obviously, his role has got to be in question now. The amount of managers we've gone through, he's the one signing the players, but according to QE, he was the one who had the final say. Yeah, but he's not. He needs to fall on his sword. I think if obviously with all this happening, I think he does need to go now.
Yeah, he does.
How do you get him out though, as well? Because I mean, it must be an horrible conversation to tell your brother that he's doing a shit job. But at the end of the day, you've got to do it because I dread to think how much money Moles cost Abdallah. At the same time, it must be hundreds, maybe even to the millions in terms of players and signing on fees, etc. I wouldn't speak to him, but
I've said it before though, if you know, regardless of brother or not, if you owned a company, whatever you're doing, your brother was causing these mistakes and making you look a knobhead, I'm sorry, brother or not, I'll say sorry, you're not being a part of this. No. Get out. You would, brother or not, I would, because you know he's messing with it, you know, he's messing with his life. It's just, I just don't get what his role, you know, I'd understand having a sporting director him in charge if he's brought success, but he hasn't. He's brought nothing with sacking managers left, right, and centre. And like you say, he's only brought Bahambula through, that's capable of, he's done anything. So, you know, he can't come out and say he's done a decent job because he hasn't.
It makes you think, like, what does Abdallah do? Because there was a big rumour when they first bought the club that he was buying it for his brother because his brother failed all these fit and proper tests. Again, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
So it makes you think whether Abdallah's just the front and he's running the whole club and he just gets involved for, obviously, so people can see his face and he's got his name on the business, etc. But,
yeah,
he's clueless.
No one, you know, we've had on many a podcast. It's Al, with people thinking Al's not the problem, it's more, but you know, we just keep repeating ourselves left, right, and centre until something's done. What way can we go forward now, Tommy? Obviously, have you bought a season ticket? Have you bought one?
Yeah, I have. So, I actually bought it on Monday for the first time in 2 years.
It's because of the price, it's made it cheap, hasn't it? You know, it's. You've got to buy one at that price, regardless if you like the club or not. You know, it's.
I do like a bargain. I actually got mine refunded a couple of years ago when Scholes left because you just thought you're sick of it. And I think we had a great chance back then as fans to maybe do something to stop buying season. And I think there was a Mansfield game on the TV, and there was a lot of talk where, you know, we can walk out the stadium or throw the scarves on, and that would have got full attention, and you know, it might have done something then. I think if you look at now and people are saying, let's not buy season tickets, which, yeah, I agree with, because you're stopping giving him money. At the same time, the club's kind of over the last year proven that they can survive without season ticket sales.
I agree with you.
And the looks of iFollow, that's going to carry on next season as well. So I think we need to think outside the box and just different ideas and ways to do it. I think one of the things I've always said is, you know, we as fans need something that's going to get his attention. I think the scheme that the Trust had years ago with player share, I think that was fantastic. And I think if fans did something like that, whether that's through PTB or the Trust again, you know, we've got something there, a free source of income that he wants. We can control that. We can say what he does with it. And obviously, if he doesn't play by the rules and he keeps sacking managers, we can take that off him and show, look, this is the effect that we can have. But
It's a great shout, that.
It's getting everything together, though. It's easier said than done, really, isn't it? So,
definitely. It's not a bad shout, that, Tommy.
Definitely.
It's not a bad
shout,
is it, Brad?
No, definitely. It does seem like a good idea, because obviously, like you said, the season ticket, he's took the big hit this season. I think we only sold 1,000. Saw a few people on Twitter saying they're not going to get a season ticket now because queue's been set, but obviously, new appointment comes in and we're people just forget about it and get it. I've got my season ticket. All lads I know have got them. You haven't, haven't you, big man?
Yeah.
You can't turn down, especially being a year away. You just want to get back on the. But obviously, I think the thing which we had where we talked the on Twitter where people said they wasn't getting season tickets, they thought maybe Salim would get the job or Paul Butler. But obviously, it's been confirmed now that Keith Curley is getting the job. What do you think of his appointment?
Yeah, I think it's a great appointment. I think it's, for the past 10, 12, 15 years, all Oldham fans, all they've ever wanted was an experienced manager. You know, the guy's got 550 matches under his belt. So you can't complain at that. I think what surprises me is he's probably seen the merry-go-round of managers. He must have done, really. Keith Curl, he always stays at a club for 2 to 3 years until he starts having success. I think if you look at Carlisle, I think he finished 20th, 10th, then got in the playoffs in his third season. And at Northampton, they didn't get promoted to the second season. So I think he needs that time. He's not somebody that's going to come in and get promoted straight away. Obviously, it's only until the end of the season anyway. But he'll need a good couple of years until we see some success, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Only pointing to the end of the season, that's what does that tell you? I don't know. What do you lads think? If it's actually to see how he performs till the end of the season, or I don't know what's
I think it's a case of both parties. I think, you know, this guy's not stupid. He'll want to come in and see if he can work with the owners, first of all. I think we'll probably keep Keith's side. Try before you buy. See if he likes a club, if he likes a setup. And then I think the key one is when he gets to the summer and bringing in players. He's not the players that he wants. He's been in the game for a long, long time. He knows the scripts, and he's not going to listen to somebody that's, you know, played semi-professional football and doesn't know what they're doing. So
exactly. Yeah, look at his. And he actually played for England. So he's somebody who's
three appearances.
Yeah, he obviously played for City for 170 games, Wolves when there was a big club. So I have a look at that. I didn't think he played for England there. So it's somebody who knows the game very well, and I don't think he's going to take any shit, is he?
No. He's worked along Warnock as well, so he's got loads of connections in the game to bring players in as well. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. It's probably the first managerial appointment in a while that I've been excited by. Seeing what he does.
Yeah, definitely.
He won't be able to sign anyone, will he?
I think he'll get free agents.
Yeah.
We've got one player who he's been around with for a bit at Carlisle. Nicky Adams was with him at Carlisle. He took him to Northampton. So he knows him quite well. So maybe, obviously, Kewell had him playing at right back. Maybe we might see him further forward in a position which is more suitable for him. I think he's a bit wasted at right back.
Yeah. I think Curl played him at right wing back and left wing back the year when Northampton got promoted. I'm pretty sure that was the case, and then he alternated to the midfield, but most of that season he played wing back. I'm pretty sure he did. But he knows how to get the best out of him.
Yeah, I think he'll be happy with him being reunited. It won't long before till he left. When did he leave Northampton? Was it just after Christmas or just before?
No, November time. But they didn't really score many goals. I think they were about second, third bottom. But looking at League One, it is a very tough league this season with the teams in it. I think, like I said, though, he knows League Two. He knows how to get out there, get in the playoffs. And it's a type of football which might be seen by fans as being dinosaur football. The Ronnie Moore days of football will be back. So Uncle Ronnie, there might be people who didn't take fondly to that. So I think fans could potentially get on his back early doors if we see negative, boring football. But I think you need that type of football in this league. Look at the teams who got promoted over the years, the big, strong, physical teams with 6'6" centre-halves, a big cart horse up top who's just there to win headers. But I think that's the type of football which you're going to see. What do you think of his style, Tommy?
Yeah, I think I've been crying out for it for years, especially at Oldham. I think there's always internal, external factors in terms of football and what makes you do well, etc., etc. A lot of the managers that we bring in these days and probably across the football league all talk about that tiki-taka, that pressing and, you know, that passing football. If you look at Boundary Park, when it gets after the winter, the grass starts to die out, the pitch goes shit, it's a cold place. Nobody ever wants to come and play at Boundary Park. So we're not going to do anything with small footballers who's just going to pass the ball around. I think having big physical lads and knocking it long might actually work for us for once. Because you ask a lot of professional footballers that have played in the Football League, not many of them will like to come and play Oldham on a cold Tuesday night. They hate it. So coming over to Oldham and getting knocked over by a big 6'4", you know, striker or whatever, they'd hate it. So I think it might work to our advantage.
Well, you would hope so, wouldn't you? You know, but if we got a striker at the minute that can do that, I don't think we have.
Get David Wheater up there.
Well, you know, so he's touching on Wheater, because obviously we don't really like speaking about Wheater, because we do speak about him quite a lot, but he's obviously a different manager now. Do you think he'll have free reign and we'll be allowed to play Wheater?
Nah, I'm not sure. I think Wheater's not going to play. The way he's been treated, and if he comes in and gets injured, that's in foot for next year as well, and getting a contract in the summer. He won't play again.
It's just a disgrace, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? But, you know, it should be allowed to be played, you know what I mean? And hopefully Kewell comes out and explains, because, you know, eventually will do, won't he? He will mention his time here, and hopefully Wheater is mentioned, because we need to know something about... We don't know anything. When was the last time you heard it? When did you put that statement about him going to the youth team training? Can you remember?
Ages ago, but... He's about the place, or Wheater. He's on Instagram. I think Dylan Fage had a picture with him showing him that he's still about training and he's lost a load of weight, apparently. But it may be one thing which Curl might say, that he wants to play him. And
yeah,
he said if he wants free reign, the club he wants to try, then we might be the first decision which they might lock horns at.
Well, I hope so. Because I'm sorry, if you come in as a new manager and look that David Wheat has been frozen out because of all issues out of his, you know, you think, wow, this guy needs to be playing, shouldn't be in the youth team. Yeah. You know what I mean? You would, because Keith Curl, you know, he's been about the game, like you said, lads, you know, he knows the game inside out. And to see a professional like David Wheat not playing at all and still receiving a wage, he might address it, I don't know. But in answer to your question, Brad, sadly, I still don't think no. Would you say no as well, Tommy?
Yeah, I can't.
You know, you've got to look at it from Wheater's point of view. If he come back and started playing now, it might injure his chance of getting a club next season. You know what I mean? He might not get. He probably look at it now and think, you know, I could still do it in League One. And if he comes back in and starts playing now and starts performing badly, he's not going to get a club in League One.
No, not a chance. And, even if he gets injured, because he's not a young pro no more, that injury could affect him for a long, long time. And pros look at that. As well. So,
Wheater, he's the one I look at. If he would have been starting this season, we would not be where we are now. I can guarantee you that now. Guarantee. We would not be sitting in 16th position. Would you agree?
No, and I think you put him next to Harry Clark, like we said earlier, and that's an ideal partner, someone to learn.
We'll be sitting in that top half fight for them playoffs, and I can't say we would, because you can't go back in time, but I really do strongly believe we will perform in a lot better, because it's something we touched on earlier, we have massively missed, but sadly, we won't be seeing him again. Imagine he's on that team sheet tomorrow.
What would you say?
I don't know what, but we say it every time, don't we? Every time somebody's on, is he going to be on that team sheet tomorrow? Is he going to be on that team sheet?
It'd be interesting to see what happens to the end of the season, because I think, like I said, unless we're going to go for a promotion push, or whether the board think we're actually in a relegation.
So, Tommy, obviously we just mentioned Wheater there. Is he anywhere, you know, you look at Keith Cole coming in now, do you think he will change the dimension of the players? What kind of, as me and Brad have been saying, will they be playing 3-5-2? Or will they be coming in and looking to play, not like Harry Kewell, but very similar to keep the players? You know what I'm getting at, don't you?
It's coming. Well, I wanted to play 3-5-2 just to sing that song. Mysterious Curl, that one. I think he won't want to play how he's used to, because we, like you said before, we haven't got that target man. I think he'll probably just pick up off what Cole's done, just try and change a couple of things. It'll be interesting to see who comes in and who goes out. Because I was looking before, I think I've not seen Garrity get mentioned in a while.
Oh no, we want to keep him away from the squad. We want to keep him away. Well, apparently he's injured. He's not happy on Twitter, is he, at the moment, Garrity? He tweeted a lot of negativity on here. I'm coming off it. And then I think someone tweeted it back saying, well, why are you tweeting this? keep away from the squad.
No, I think he'll pick up off the back of Cool. Obviously, he's got a lot of experience, so he'll see different things. I think man management will probably change as well. So I think it'll just be interesting to see what he wants to do. Just ready for next year, really, if he stays.
Yeah, I think one player who probably, he's not really starting many games under Cool, he was in and out of club. I think PJ would probably be getting a run of games until the end of the season. He likes a bit of a hoof, doesn't he? If you watch PJ and everything is that diagonal pass, he tries it all the time. To be fair, he's not a good vision, but every time he just hits it long, he is a hoof player. But I don't think we'll be seeing much playing out from the back anymore. Which just causes problems.
It does, especially at this level. The players aren't good enough to do it. I mean, some might be, but I think, like I said, the old point of football is scoring goals. Get it from one box to the other box as quickly as possible and score the Sam Allardyce technique, if you like. But yeah, it would be interesting if you put some on top.
Not only that, I look at him, if he is here, if he's here, because I want him here for next season as well, he's going to come in and have a look. He's got a good idea of who he wants to keep then, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, who he wants to keep and where he needs to strengthen. So, you know, it's not a bad thing to bring him in. Now, I know he's only here to the end of the season, but I'm pretty sure he will be here next season. I'm pretty sure he'll have another one-year deal at the end of the season. So, let's see if we can look at offloading and keeping, because obviously, you know, players like McKennelly, you know, he's out of contract to end of season. Is he going to stay now? It might change now. A couple of weeks ago, I'd have said there's not a chance, but he might shine under him. Might change, you know what I mean?
Again, I can't see McElhinney starting. I think...
No, I can't, but with Cole coming in, he might change that opinion.
Maybe. I think from the looks of it, Cole were quite popular with the players. Especially some of them, but... But Paul Butler's back as well, isn't he? I think he was announced by his new assistant, confirmed as well.
Yeah, definitely. But just before we touch on Paul Butler, you do mention about the players. I have been told by someone today that some of the players aren't very happy with Kiel leaving. And you might be ones which have put a post. You don't normally see, you've had Kiel done post on Instagram about Kiel Gurnley, but he's never fit anyway. So there might be a few who are really pissed off, but The players have let Kiel down by performing like they have.
Yeah. It's a lot of the young lads as well, probably, who he's given the chance to. So, naturally, you're going to be attached with them. But we'll just have to see. Keep cool. I need to stop calling Keep Cool.
I know, I've just done that.
He'll know how to deal with them. Like I said, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, what do you think about Paul Butler coming back? Because obviously, we're rumoured to get the job. I think Marmsey put a few weeks back that he's... that he was been there for a couple of weeks. I've never spotted him on the touchline.
But I think he's done a lot since he's left Latics. I think, where's he been? Doncaster, Leeds, and...
Den Haag.
Yeah, that's in Belgium.
Isn't that an ice cream?
That's Haagen-Dazs been, man.
Oh, sorry.
You're just thinking of food again, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. You're right.
But no, I think I watched his interview under the cosh on the Patreon version, and he spoke really well on that. I think he's not somebody that comes across as a manager, but he'll get a job done. He's enthusiastic, he's determined.
Mr. Motivator. Remember him at Chaddy End back in under Lee Johnson? Yeah, he used to always gear us up, didn't he? Do you remember his clipboard?
He was under Dickoff, been man, I think.
Oh, Dickoff, sorry. Yeah, Dickoff, you're right. Sorry. My apologies, yes, Dickoff. He was always running up and down in his lycra pants. Do you remember?
Yeah, he loved it, and he was enthusiastic chap, weren't he? He had a lot of fitness. I think he got a degree in like sports science, so he'd probably be doing about five different roles, because we're just scrimping and scraping on staff. So you're probably assistant manager, head of science, first team coach.
If you listen, a professional player in the past, and his first coaching job was he just turned up at Man City. Didn't have a meeting arranged, wore like a shitty suit from a charity shop, walked straight in, asked to see, this was at Carrington, asked to see Stuart Pearce, and just said, I want to go at coaching, can I just shadow you for a couple of weeks? And Stuart Pearce was like, yeah, you've got some balls, come in for 2 weeks. So he did that at City, and then I think he got a job at Fulham, But it's quite interesting how he's gone into it, because he's obviously he's never played football professionally.
No, he seemed to have a role in the game, don't play and then kind of take all different roles as you finish. But like you said, I hope he brings his enthusiasm back, because even though we used to laugh at it, you know, he's obviously now been out and coached in the game, which obviously didn't when he first joined Oldham. So obviously now he has. Hopefully he brings that experience that he has had in the last couple of years. Didn't you say he was, who was he under Den Haag, did you say, Brad? Who was he under manager? Pardew, so obviously so he's had
there's some big managers, aren't he? So he's obviously Pardew's been about the game quite a bit. Don't know who was at Blackpool, but under Leeds it was, I think it was Hockaday. He might have been Hockaday, but
yeah,
these are big clubs where he's been at, so he must have a bit about him to get jobs for these sort of teams.
He talks about on when he's done the podcast under the Kosh, what he did when he was at Oldham was he made a plan to go and meet every football manager in England, you know, in terms of top ones, so Wenger, Fergie, Mourinho, all these big-time managers. He had a meeting with every single one of them, so he's got a connection at every single club. So that's how he got the job with Pardew, because he'd met him for a coffee, spoke about ideas, kept in touch, and Pardew took him over there. So it's really interesting if you listen to
him.
It's a bit of an eccentric trap to do this. I've got some big balls to just go up to people and meet them all. But I mean, one player, a football manager legend for me, which did talk to Den Haag, was I think it's George Thomas, striker. So hopefully he brings them down here to get him bags goals on there. But yeah, he's FM legend. But yeah, I think obviously the two, do you think they work well together? Because obviously Curl has a style which is a bit one dimensional, and obviously Butler's a bit of a expansive coach, would you say?
Yeah. I think Butler's your box and you know coach. I think he's worked on long park games in the past. If you look at Bickoff, he always played with a target man then, so it's nothing new to him. Obviously he went to Doncaster and did the same, so he'll know what he's doing, and I think he'll just take orders and take training sessions and just keep people engaged, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think to make him assistant, obviously he's been here for a couple of weeks, so obviously I think that were part of the condition of him coming here. You got to have him, which, you know, it might not be a bad thing. It's only time will tell, because, you know, they've got 2 months to prove whether they are up for the job or not. So, you know, I think they'll work well together. I do. Like you said, Tommy, you know, he's had the experience now. So let's hope they both deliver here, which I'm pretty sure they will.
Obviously,
I think they will anyway.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Obviously, we've got till the end of the season. So it's a bit ways to go to take a look at the squad and see who he's got. I remember at Northampton last season, I think I had him on a promotion bet because he got his squad in early, Curl, and he made some really good signings. Like, I think he signed Smith from Macclesfield, that type of players. So maybe, hopefully, he hits the ground running, finishes this season well, top half finish, hopefully. He's still there. A couple of wins, we could still get top half. So that's hopefully the aim and kick on for next season. What do you think for the rest of the season, Tommy?
I think just see it out. I think, as I said before, we're not going to get relegated. We're not going to get promoted. I think try and win as many as possible. I think even just throw in a couple of kids, see what they're like and see if they're ready for the professional football, really. I think the season is pretty much over. I'm not worried about going down, but I think just experiment with a couple of things.
I agree. But I still think we do need a couple of more wins. I think I'll experiment possibly in a couple of weeks. Get another 2 wins under our belt. I just want that security. They always say there's always one team that gets dragged right in it. There isn't. Every year you just look and think, oh dear, you know, they're keeping their head a little bit above the water. I don't want to be like that come April and think, shit, we need another win from somewhere. I just don't want that. Let's get a couple of wins then. I think we can experiment and see what the squad is all about under Curl.
Well, that's it. You won't know until it happens as well. So it'd be exciting. I'd tell you what, if we got into a relegation battle, it'd be exciting again though, won't it?
Yeah, it gives us something to play for, because instead of this boredom. Yeah, I agree, but I certainly don't want to be tinkering around near them. But because I think, in my opinion, I think Grimsby have gone. I think they're going to go. They're poor. Really poor.
I've got to agree with you there. Then I think it's one I think obviously we play them tomorrow. Port Vale are in a really bad state. You said about a team who always gets dragged into it. I think they're just really struggling there. So yeah. I think it's one of Barra, Southend, and Port Vale, and maybe Colchester. But I said, we've got on there. So I think we are safe where we are on there. So, like I said, I think I'm with you, Tommy, there, that he needs to play all the players and experiment with different things and different styles. So hopefully we can kick on next season. And if he is going to be here, he needs to stamp his authority down and say which, take no shit and say which plays he wants.
Yeah, which I think he will. I think he will. He's done it so many times. And like I said, I think he's good mates with Warnock as well, isn't he? So, yeah.
Well, hopefully, I want to see what he's like with the keeper tomorrow, because obviously, I think that's the first thing I've got to look at, me, the keeper. You know, the way he's been performing this season. I think Curl has obviously seen videos. He's not going to come in without no knowledge of how we've been playing this season. Obviously, he knows how we've been playing, and, you know, so obviously we address the keeper, because fucking hell, I'm lucky I'm not in fucking A&E some weeks with him. His fucking heart can't take it. And Ayla dropped a bollock on Saturday, didn't he? You're like, oh my. I don't know. I'll ask your opinion on that, Tommy, before we close. What's your opinion on Lawler? We ask this on every podcast, but people seem to be mixed, so I'd rather ask you. What do you think?
Firstly, I'm mixed. I think he's average. I think some games would be fantastic, other games he'll just drop clangers. I think there's probably better goalkeepers out there and there's worse goalkeepers out there. So
me and Brad always touch on old goalkeepers, you know, because me and Brad, we've always said it, we always like a keeper who's old. You look at Bolton, they've got Matt Jilts, he's 37. Everyone goes, oh, he's too old. But for me, I don't think that's old as a keeper. I really don't.
He's an older isn't he, Matt Jilts?
He's from older, yeah. He used to train my brother, who was terrible in there as well when he come to on a Saturday or Sunday. But yeah, he used to train him at 3D Dynamos. So he is about the area.
I think Bywater as well, Stephen Bywater, he's an older lad as well, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. So. Like I said, I like it when we had Paul Gerrard, because obviously he was the goalkeeper coach and he was sitting on the bench, and you rarely get called upon. He did, and he did all right, to be fair, for him when he was 40-odd. But yeah, definitely on that one. Before you do go, Tommy, we did speak a couple of weeks back. I never told Bin Man. What was the story when you first met Bin Man?
Oh, fucking hell. This was brilliant, this. So, which one? There's a couple. There's the one on the coach or the one in the stadium. Which one?
Well, we'll do them both. Do the stadium one.
I'm quite nervous now. Should I leave it?
No. So, first time we met Bin Man, you wasn't very happy with me. And I think you ran up and you started shouting in my face, but I kept calling you Steve McDonald from Corrie.
Oh yeah, I do look like him.
And I think it went over the top one week. I think there was an incident on the train to Tranmere, and he was like, right, well, everyone fucking pack it in now. I'm sick of it. Everyone calling me Steve McDonald.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Someone, you love me now, though, don't you, Tommy?
Yeah, no, we're good friends now. And then there was that well with I think you had, was it a Zoom magazine or something?
Oh yeah, I took a picture.
Maybe
to Yeovil, weren't it?
Yeovil
away.
And it was like an inch from me. I was like, fucking hell, Bin Man, are they not big enough for you?
No, they're never big enough.
Man, some cracking stories at Oldham, especially where we sit as well, because we get to see all the managers and we've seen so many biters over the year. I was trying to think before, probably the best one we saw was, do you remember Danny Wilson? So he kept coming back. He was at Sheffield United, Chesterfield, and a couple other places. For whatever reason, just the fans just used to abuse him. Short ass, you're a failure, Wilson, and all this. And just one week, just somebody shouted, shut up, Piehead. For whatever reason, he just turned around and went, what did you just call me? And this bloke goes, Piehead, say it again. So the whole stand at this point is going, Piehead, Piehead, Piehead. He's hiding behind the steward going mad, get sent off into top of the stands for starting all the fans. Looking brilliant looking back.
You can't beat that main stand, can you?
Yeah, main stand, your bit. I think one of the main protagonists there is, it, you might know him, Ryan Aber. He always gives it them, doesn't he?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
There's quite a few, and I think, what is it, main stand moaners. There's loads of people in there that you just see it. They're just so angry. And then, but you see them on the street and they're really nice.
Yeah. So, So it's obviously you and Wilson, the best story where they've gone mad. Have you? Is there any other ones which you say where they've bitten and got out of fans or players? Yeah,
there was a Dean Windass incident. So when we played Bradford, I think it was Ronnie Morsey when we were going to go down.
Yeah.
And Windass flowed and he came up to all the fans and started going down. So anyway, it kicks off at our time. Somebody threw a pie at him. Police got involved and he came out and he went there. The police have said I've had to come over and apologise to you lot, but you can go and fuck yourselves, run on the pitch. So that started it again. Well, a couple of years ago, he signed for us a couple of years after on the Sheds. And when he was coming out training, he came over and he just went, are we all friends now, lads? So you're not going to throw any pies at me and get arrested? I'm like, no. But Ronnie Moore was always good for biting. When someone ran on the pitch to
him once. I've got a story about him. For Ronnie Moore, he wound me up one. We played Tranmere at home and it was 0-0 at the most boringest game. I signed the main stand up of this game. It was the most boringest game I've ever been to. It was 0-0. Anyway, I can't remember who I am.
Ryan Lowe
scored a penalty and I were giving it Ronnie Moore. And I mean, some chain, I were giving it Ronnie Moore. And I were giving it in that much, he kept waving to me. He was waving to me. Yeah, blowing kisses at me. And I tell you what, I was spitting feathers. I've never been so angry. If I could have jumped down to lost, I don't know what. I was so angry. People were laughing at me, pointing at me. I went, yeah, fuck. I was going absolute ballistic, Tommy. Tommy, I were nearly in tears. I was that angry. And he was just blowing kisses at me, going, I love it. He said on a Under the Kosh podcast, he turned around, he said, I felt like nearly 7:30 when I left that stadium. I'm like, fucking wanker. So he couldn't leave the pitch. He said he was loading it up. He said, to see all the fans in the main stand just biting. He said, and one particular lad, he said, I won't even at him. I thought, it's fucking me.
Honestly, it's brilliant. It's such a laugh, especially when they bite as well. It just makes your day. And I think they all take it as friendly banter.
Yeah, they do.
Keith Hill's on as well, but... But yeah.
What were the key film? What about Dean Lewington? I've heard he's had a few run-ins with the main stand.
Dean Lewington, no, but the ginger left back.
Yeah.
I've not seen him ever bite. There's been loads over the years. There's probably too many to mention.
Are you one of the cockroaches then?
Apparently so. Yeah, but when David Dunn said that, he turned around going cockroach. I'm sat there thinking, I was at every game that. He never turned around and told anyone to fuck off. The only people that I've seen do that was Lee Johnson and John Sheridan. They do it every week. They were good.
I love him. If John Sheridan told me to fuck off, I'll go, sorry, Lord, I apologise.
When he was at Carlisle and he was on FaceTime with one of the lads in Australia because he knew him. And he was on one of the lads that we sit with. He was on his phone. In a Carlisle tracksuit, he just left Oldham, like halfway through the game, just didn't care. Like, how are you, Sparky? You're all right, mate. What a bloke.
But obviously, you're missing it. Hopefully, we can go back. We haven't asked you, what's your best memory of supporting Oldham, our best away trip, would you say?
Mine is the Liverpool game at home. It has to be, because I think I had the chance to meet Steven Gerrard, obviously all-time hero growing up, my favourite ever footballer. Got to shake his hand and obviously we won the game as well. So I think that every time I look back, it's just one of my favourite. But there's probably a few, but that's the one that sticks out.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we have more memories to come, eh?
Well, obviously we're under Keith Coe now, where... I'll let you sing us out, Bin Man, before we close.
Oh, mysterious girl, I want to play 3-5-2.
But yeah, really do appreciate that, Tommy.
I'll keep on, guys.
Cheers.
See you later, Tommy.
All the best.